How cheating makes you a better dungeon master. As a DM, do you cheat to prevent unintentional character deaths? Fudge roll just a little? Rebalance an enemy's hit points when you realize it is way tougher than you meant it to be? Is it actually cheating? Listen to these two stories and let me know where you stand on cheating as the DM. I try really hard not to kill characters unintentionally. If someone dies in one of my games, it will either be because the player and I have worked out a dramatically appropriate death, or because the player insists on doing things that would logically get them killed despite my heroic efforts not to kill them. The latter has never actually happened to me. I like to think I'm better at picking my players than that. But there was one time. Settle in. This was about 3, maybe 4 sessions into a campaign. One of my players had a character everybody really liked. A slightly bumbling university professor who was out of her depth, but was showing signs of being far more useful than she initially appeared. This game had a heavy green hell survival element to it. Think Nausicaa of the Valley of the Wind, or a Dark Sun campaign, except set in a jungle. Vegetation grows at an aggressive rate. Wildlife is unnaturally aggressive. The woods are dark and full of terrors. Civilization is fighting a constant battle against being swallowed by the jungle, and is slowly losing. Well, the party had just received the main quest of the campaign, which involved trying to find a lost university that had been swallowed up by the Great Barrier Jungle hundreds of years ago. They cleverly decided not to try and hack their way through leagues upon leagues of trackless green hellscape, and instead sail up the coast of the jungle until they were at least vaguely in the neighborhood of the university's suspected location, the discovery of which had occupied the previous several sessions. Finding a ship captain crazy enough to sail them up the coast had even provided an entertaining side quest, and the party was at last on their way down the river to the sea. I don't always make people track this sort of thing, but given the setting, part of this game was having a solid plan to carry enough food and water for any expedition into the wilds. I also played with realistic food and water weights, which meant that characters were physically incapable of carrying enough food or water in their packs for more than a few days without finding fresh water or foraging for food, or traveling with pack animals who themselves required food and water. By this point, my players were fully invested in the flavor of the campaign, and enthusiastically set about figuring out a plan for not starving to death on their coastal expedition. A large part of this plan involved fishing as they sailed up the coast, a journey expected to take months. The party had carefully invested in quite a bit of survival skills and gear, but they were still just shy of being able to comfortably assure that they would have adequate daily rations. So they decided to have the professor help out with the daily fishing tasks. This was not in itself a crazy idea. She wasn't a survival specialist, but her relevant checks were not bad. Unfortunately, on her very first day of manning a trailing fishing pole, she rolled a natural 1. No sooner had the party set out than the professor had lost one of their precious fishing poles. Well, obviously, the character was mortified, and insisted on making it right. She had a racial ability to teleport short distances, with a short cooldown between hops. So she'd just pop onto shore, cut a likely sapling, and pop back to the ship. One of the other party members, a winged nature sprite with a similar short cooldown flight ability, decided to go with her. They wouldn't even have to set anchor. Oh yes, dear listener. They waited until they were passing a copse of trees with likely-looking young growth, lots of that in this world, and they left the party behind on the ship, only to find that the copse in question was home to flying venomous snakes, who were being hunted by a party of lizardmen, introducing a faction that would become more important as the campaign progressed. None of whom were happy to have a slightly bumbling university professor teleport into their midst. The ensuing fight was great fun, as the two separated party members tried to stay alive long enough to get back to the ship, while the rest of the party scrambled to either swim to shore in their combat gear or support the fight from the ship. Again, as part of the green hell aesthetic of the campaign, the ship was not something you could just move around at will like a unit in a real-time strategy game. Now, I wasn't actually trying to kill anybody. I wanted to introduce a future important NPC faction and reinforce the fact that I was serious about nature not being something to mess with in this setting. But it was not an easy fight. None of the encounters in this campaign were intended to be cakewalks, and the professor went down and then got caught in an area effect attack. I rolled damage and I announced it. And the professor's player looked at me and said, "I'm dead." I had, you see, forgotten to check how much damage she could take before not just dying, but dead. If I had remembered to check that, I could have fudged the damage roll. Except I hadn't. And I'd said the damage out loud, and the player had announced her character's death. out loud. Now, like any good DM, I cheat like crazy behind the scenes to make sure the story stays good. But I cheat behind the scenes, and this all happened out in the open. I didn't feel like I could just backtrack without losing some of the "this game is a harsh and brutal" vibe I've been carefully building up over the past several sessions. So I didn't contradict the professor's player. She died, and the party had no way to bring her back. As I had carefully established in earlier sessions, this was not a campaign setting in which high-level NPCs or flashy, obviously physics-defying magic were common. But they did have the ability to preserve the body, and I hadn't meant to kill the character, who was one of the party's most beloved members, so I made up a side quest to bring her back to life, which ended up being an opportunity to introduce several more elements of the main plot, and was generally well-received by all. It all turned out well, but it was completely unintentional on my part. Not that I let on about that, seeing as my improvised side quest ended up being so important to the plot. A DM's got to have some secrets. Transforming an unintentional death from a tragedy to a plot device. Could the DM have fudged a role in the next story to let the party sneak by? Would you have? Transforming an unintentional death from a tragedy to a plot device. Brilliant. Could the DM from the next story have fudged a role to let the party sneak by? Would you? The game was Pathfinder rather than Dungeons & Dragons, but an unintentional, unlikely death happened in my game once. A character died due to a 1 out of 400 chance of the dice rolls. In one session of the Paizo module, Spires of Zin Shalast, two players were absent, so two members of the 15th level party were absent. The remaining four characters, Bard, Wizard, and two rogues, continued without them. The party decided to sneak past a pair of rune giant guards, CR 17 each, on a path up the mountain, invisibly via spells from the wizard. One rogue, Tyrd, rolled a 1 on his stealth check. He was invisible and so skilled at stealth that he could have succeeded even then, except that one rune giant rolled a 20 on his perception check to oppose the stealth check. That was the only combination by which Tyrd could have failed, but it happened, and combat ensued. The rogue's standard combat strategy was to attack early in the first round while the enemies were flat-footed, flank for each other in the second round, and then retreat because they had hit the point of the rogues. Usually by the second round, the Battle Oracle was fully buffed and able to take on the remaining enemies. In this combat, the Battle Oracle was absent, and flanking is dangerous against gargantuan creatures like rune giants, since the non-provoking 5-foot step usually fails to reach a flanking position. The other rogue retreated in the second round because he was badly injured by the attacks of the rune giants. Tyrd, in contrast, had taken levels in the Duelist Prestige class, so he had ways to deal damage that did not rely on sneak attack, and he continued fighting. The other rogue had a ring of invisibility, so he managed an occasional sneak attack against a rune giant. The bard was busy trying to heal him whenever both were out of reach of the giants. The wizard was trying to damage and slow down the giant's spells. The rogue Tyrd was the bulwark protecting them all, and he fell. He died one round before the last rune giant was killed by a sneak attack from the other rogue. Ironically, Tyrd himself was responsible for the circumstances by which I could resurrect him. Many levels ago, the party defeated the Lamia matriarch, Zanesha. She returned in a side quest 3 levels later for revenge and discovered that the party was powerful enough to kill her boss. If her boss was dead, he could not punish Zanesha for her failure. Zanesha turned into a double agent to help the party against her boss, mostly using Tyrd as her liaison. She liked Tyrd. The role-playing was so fun that Spires of Zin Shalast, I had Zanesha recalled to Zin Shalast by the final boss. She was covertly aiding the party in that hostile city too, after encountering them by chance because she was spying on a tribe of skulks hidden in a ruined corner of Zin Shalast after the party aided the skulks. Since Zanesha was a matriarch, I gave her daughters who lived in Zin Shalast classes for variety. I made one daughter a cleric. After Tyrd died, the party hauled his body back to their hideout in the skulk tunnels. They contacted Zanesha for aid. The next morning, she proudly brought along her cleric daughter for a raise dead and some restoration spells. The party had the diamonds for the spell components. What do you think? Is cheating to tweak a dice roll so a party member doesn't die? Do you let the dice gods decide your player's fate? Tell me what you think in a comment down below. Before we take our leave, don't forget to subscribe to our channel, All Things D&D. Stay tuned for more amazing Dungeons & Dragons content every Friday.